listening to Gary Allen on Business on KNBR 680, the sports leader.
Good morning again, everyone. Gary Allen coming to you live from the studios of KNBR. My guest this morning, Blaine Aiken. He's the president and CEO of Fiduciary 360. All morning we've been talking about the future of investment advice in America, and I just don't think many people understand the nuances, the differences, and there are major differences on how investment advice is delivered in America. And right now what's happening in Washington, D.C. is they're determining what the scope of investment advice will be, how the standards will be for the next several decades at least, whenever these regulatory changes come about. Blaine, just prior to the break, we were talking about these various competing proposals from SIFMA and FINRA and the fiduciary standard, which, frankly, is the one that, at least in my opinion, I know yours, is the correct one. But to be fair, can you give us any of the strengths or weaknesses for SIFMA and FINRA, and then we'll get into the fiduciary standard as well?
Sure. Well, unfortunately, on the SIFMA front, I can't think of any strengths. The only thing I can say is that as laid out there and as best we understand it, and it's still somewhat vague as in terms of what SIFMA is looking for, but I don't believe that there's any real strength here. It unequivocally is going to mean reducing a level of investor protection if we go to some form of homogenized fiduciary and suitability standard. Essentially, I think this would just be a reversion to lowering the bar to the suitability standard across the board, even for advice givers. So I think we can pass fairly quickly past that. On the FINRA front, there for quite some time, FINRA was arguing that the suitability standard was quite rigorous and that there really wasn't much of a need for a change. Now, I think the tide was sufficiently against that view that FINRA has more recently come out and said that the fiduciary standard should be at the heart of the issue, and that FINRA held itself out as being in the best position to handle the regulation under a new universal approach with the fiduciary at the core. And this, Gary, I would say it's still the primary weakness on the FINRA front is that we still are talking about some level of harmonization and going to a new construct that would be less than the full authentic fiduciary standard. So that's a major weakness. The biggest threat, I think, of having FINRA be the regulator, we talk about FINRA as being a self-regulatory organization, but let's stop and think about that for a moment. The self-regulation is true under the current environment because it's regulation of the brokerage industry. So essentially, FINRA is composed of members who are members of the financial industry. If we were talking about this being a regulator of advisors, it's not self-regulation. It would be the equivalent of having essentially drug companies be the regulator of conduct of physicians. This is not in any way, shape, or form self-regulation, and it's a conflicted role. So I certainly hope we don't see regulation in the hands of FINRA, or at least with respect to advisors. Let's then turn to the fiduciary standard that Commissioner Aguilar is talking about. And I think he makes an absolutely compelling case to say that we have this robust body of knowledge on what the fiduciary standard is all about, particularly with respect to ERISA. So let's extend that to all who provide any level of advice. And he goes on to say that, you know, the reason that the broker-dealer community received an exemption from the Investment Advisors Act was because at the time they were not providing advice. But with the advent of fee-based accounts in the broker-dealer community, effectively advice became to be a core part of many relationships between brokers and their clients. And so consequently, it isn't a question of inventing something new. It's a question of extending the existing regulation to this part of the community. And he goes on to say that, you know, we set up the SEC. The SEC was established with the specific purpose of regulating advisors. The problem we have today is, A, the SEC has fallen down a bit on the regulation that they've done on the advisor side. So certainly that needs to be examined and beefed up. But a big, big part of the problem has been that they've just simply been outgunned. We have something like 400 SEC investigators in a community of 15,000 advisors, and we've got some 650,000 brokers, many of whom would be subject, you know, would be giving advice and be subject to this standard. So so here is where I think Commissioner Aguilar has said, let's not confuse a resource issue with the central one that we need to be talking about, the fiduciary standard and extending the regulatory structure to those folks who are giving advice.
So, Blaine, when we just kind of summarize the whole idea here of the fiduciary standard that we're talking about, I want to make it very clear to the listeners out there that the fiduciary standard, has not broken down. It exists. It is there. It is very robust. It's just the fact that the regulator that has been overseeing that, the SEC, has been somewhat, not somewhat, but has been definitely starved of resources to be able to do a good job. Isn't that accurate?
That is absolutely accurate. You know, I think there's the SEC has been drawn into some issues that it needs to kind of soul search again and go back to its roots and make sure that it does have investor protection at the core. But fundamentally, it is a resource issue. They've just been totally outgunned, and now I think we recognize the need to have a truly well-resourced regulator in this area.
So, Blaine, now that we're coming up to the end of the program here, just in like a minute or two, can you at least kind of encapsulate why is this so important for all of the listeners out there who, frankly, are most of them investors?
Sure. Let me give you, I'm going to zero in on three quick things. First is, I would say, we need to recognize that we need to restore true capitalism even in this area. And by that I mean, if you look at what some of the exemptions and exclusions and the lower standard that we have on the suitability side, it's allowed there to be inadequate disclosures. It's allowed there to be inappropriate compensation structures that create conflicts of interest. Capitalism is all about good information and a truly robust competitive environment. By going to a fiduciary standard at the advice level, you are requiring competition that is well-advised, well-informed, and this will help to truly bring integrity back into capitalism. Secondly, it brings true professionalism into the arena of advice giving. And so I know, Gary, you and I share a love for the financial area, and nothing, I think, would please us more than to make sure that we are thought of in the same terms in the financial services area as other professionals when it comes to giving advice. So I think that's huge. But most importantly, the third area is it puts trust and integrity back into the relationships that we have between the financial service providers and the investors, because it's built on that singular duty of loyalty. It demands competence of a profession. And now we can really look to the financial crisis and not point to inherent conflicts of interest and divided loyalties and say that this was a root part of the cause. The profession needs to be much more rigorous and brought to a level that helps to foster those relationships of trust.
I concur completely on that issue. And Blaine, one of the things, of course, though, is in Washington, D.C., for lack of a better term, and unfortunately it's this way, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, and people can interpret that however they want. But how does the average person listening today who may be an investment steward, who may be just an investor, or maybe somebody that just wants to do the right thing if they're so inclined, how is their voice heard in this, you know, bigger picture or this bigger playing field?
Right. And Gary, the opposition to the robust fiduciary standard or the authentic fiduciary standard is well financed, because it keeps the status quo. It does allow extraordinary profits to be made, and it keeps the investor somewhat in the background somewhat. So I think there is an advocacy role here for the listeners. Everyone should write to the SEC expressing their support for Commissioner Aguilar's position in particular, but which is the authentic fiduciary standard. Write to your legislators, write to the administration, and stress this. But I got to tell you, that as important as that is, here's my number one suggestion. Any investor who is seeking advice needs to make sure that the person they're talking to, the financial services representing they're talking to, adheres to a fiduciary standard. They should ask them that overtly. They should expect them to adhere to the fiduciary standard. And if the market demands it, if we've got an informed investing public, and this includes the stewards and pension plans and foundations and endowments in particular, if they demand a fiduciary standard, that's what's going to bring it about.
You're absolutely right on that. The whole idea is that the market, hopefully, in any type of free society, will eventually create the outcome that hopefully everyone desires at this point. But it certainly seems to be a twisted and somewhat of a tortuous ride at this point, doesn't it? I mean, it shouldn't be that hard, should it?
It really shouldn't be. I mean, when you stop and think about if you view that the right justice always prevails, how can you be against the fact that we need to place the investor's best interest first? And so I think expressing that, and frankly, holding our public officials accountable to their own fiduciary duty. I think that this is where we've got to say to public officials, your fiduciary duty is to the citizens.